Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning, as we did make it back safely, and of course we were here last week too, but this week we got to settle back in and try to wash some clothes and all that sort of stuff from our trip, so it was all good. So, an Amish boy and his father were visiting a city, and they were in a new mall. And they were amazed by almost everything they saw, but especially two shiny silver walls that could move apart and then back together again. The boy asked his father, "What is this, father?" The father, never having seen an elevator before, responded, "Son, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what it is." While the boy and his father were watching wide-eyed, an old lady in a wheelchair rolled up to the moving walls and pressed a button. The walls opened, and the lady rolled in between them into a small room. And the walls closed, and the boy and his father watched small circles of light with numbers above the wall light up. And they continued to watch the circles light up in reverse direction. And the walls opened up again, and a beautiful 24-year-old woman stepped out. The father said to his son, "Go get your mother." When's the last time you said, "That's too good to be true"? Or you bought a product that was going to solve all your problems, and you found out, not so much. What if there was something that was too good, but yet still true? Well, we come to our scripture reading this morning. If you'd like to stand with me, we're going to read in John chapter 4. And if you remember last week's sermon, we were talking about the Samaritan woman at the well. Okay, we're going to start in verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water, that I might not thirst, nor come here to draw." You may be seated. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to your word this morning, I pray that you would illumine our understanding. Lord, I pray that you would guide our hearts and our minds and our thoughts towards you. Lord, that we would comprehend and understand the wonderful truth that you have for us this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So she says, Sir, give me this water that I might not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And he said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to Him, I know what Messiah is coming. I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when He comes, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. Wow. What an amazing conversation that Jesus had with a lowly woman of Samaria. Now we see that from the text here, it says that Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. I mean, that's an understatement. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Jews would... It's like if we were going to Illinois, or if we were going to Missouri, we would drive through Iowa. Actually, that's not really a good example because you could just go through Nebraska. It's not that far out of the way. But you get the idea. If let's just say that Iowa was about halfway over between South Dakota. The Jews would drive all the way around Iowa, so they wouldn't have to go through it. I mean, they did not like the Samaritans one bit. They would go way out of their way, days' travels out of their way, just so they would not have to enter in with the Samaritans. But Jesus goes into Samaria. He goes in and He's sitting at a well. The disciples have gone away to buy food. He's sitting there and He comes up and this woman comes up and He starts talking to her. Now, back in that day, it was not kosher for men to talk with women in public. They didn't do that. And so for Jesus to start talking to this woman, you can see that she's shocked. When He says, give me a drink, she doesn't say, you know, would you like that with a cherry or a vanilla flavoring? She says, why are you talking to me? What is it? How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? That's her first response. She's shocked that He would even say anything to her. And then Jesus responds, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. So what is this living water that Jesus talks about? Well, there's actually quite a bit of passages that refer to water in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. If this were a learned a Pharisee, they probably would have got the reference to living water. This is a Samaritan woman. Obviously, she's a religious woman, because as soon as she identifies Jesus as somebody who knows things, she immediately starts asking Him questions. But you know, it's kind of interesting. We saw with Nicodemus, right? Jesus said, you must be born again. And then Nicodemus was like, well, how can I be born again? And then He said, you must be born of the water and the Spirit, right? And then Nicodemus has no idea what He's talking about. And Jesus is like, you have learned this stuff. You should know this stuff because it's from the Old Testament. Well, with this lady, He has a much different approach. I think he has compassion on her. And so He gives her a little bit more time to understand what He's saying. But there's a lot of scripture, and I want to just give you a flavor. I couldn't read every single scripture that talked about this, but this should definitely get you an idea of where Jesus is coming from when He says that I would have given you living water. First of all, we see in the Old Testament, we have Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. It says, therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3a says, this is the Lord's, and well, that's not what the verse says, but it is the Lord speaking, just so you can have a point of reference. But this is what the verse says. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. God is inviting the Israelites to come to Him, and He will provide for them. Jeremiah 2, 11 through 13 says, Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Here God is talking about the nation of Israel who has changed its living God for false idols who are not alive. But He refers to Himself as a fountain of living waters. And I think that Jesus is referring to this passage especially when He says that I would give of you living waters. And it's a really a claim that He is God in the physical form. Now in the New Testament, we also have several passages that talk about the living water. This is John chapter 4, where we're reading in now. But we also see in John chapter 7, the end of the Passover, it says, On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we see that the flowing rivers of living water is referring to the coming of the Holy Spirit to those who would believe. In Revelation chapter 7, we also see this reference. Chapter 7, verse 16 and 17 says, They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And chapter 21, 5 and 6 says, So then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write these words, for they are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And Revelation 22 says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So we see that this living water is both eternal life and a promise of the Holy Spirit to come at that time. Of course, the Holy Spirit has since come, came at the Pentecost. It only comes from the one true God. So Jesus is claiming to be God. And at the end of the discussion, Jesus clearly tells the woman that he is the Messiah. But why was it so hard for her to grasp? Why was she still thinking on this earthly plane? Well, we see that we are physically challenged here on this earth. We think earthly versus heavenly. Now you might think and look at me and say, yes, Pastor, you probably are physically challenged. But that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is our constant association to everything is physical. We don't look at problems and see the spiritual aspects of things. We don't look at our life and see the spiritual battles that are taking place. We don't look at our communities, our church, and see that there is a spiritual element, because we think only physically. We think only earthly. We see this in John chapter 3. If we back up before this account of the woman at the well, John the Baptist, testifying of Jesus Christ, tells us this: he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Paul said in Colossians, we need to transform our minds. It says, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Of course, we know the Romans chapter 12 verse that talks about transforming your mind as well. But we need to transform our thinking to upward thinking, heavenly thinking. Set our minds on things above, not on these earthly things. I love that song. Trading our sorrows, our sickness, our sadness for the joy of the Lord. The only way you can do that is have a proper understanding of who we are in Christ. If you don't understand who you are in Christ, you'll never have the joy of the Lord. And all you'll think about are these earthly things. Well, we also see in this passage the giver of heavenly food. Both Jesus Christ, but also the woman at the well. You see, at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he was speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Because it's kind of taboo. So it's kind of like, when somebody comes to the door as a kid, and your father steps out on the porch and is talking with them, and as a kid you're like, what are they saying out there? What's going on, and you're peeking through the window kind of a thing. The disciples are, they're marveled at it. They're confused by it. They are trying to figure out why it's happening, but yet nobody really wants to be brave and say, why are you talking to her? So they're kind of just sitting back there. And then the woman left her pot. She went on her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. One of the things that I love about this account is we see the woman's reaction. You know, a lot of times when we're thinking about sharing the gospel with somebody, we think, you know what? I need to wait for the best time. I need to wait till all my ducks are in a row. I need to wait till maybe that person is having some trials in their lives and I can come and tell them about how God can alleviate their trials. Or maybe I need to wait until they're having a good day. They might be a little bit more accepting to the message. Or maybe I need to wait until, we're always waiting. But this woman, she's going to wait until the best time. And the best time is right now. And she's so excited about this new person she's found in her life that she forgets her bucket. I don't even think she forgets it. She just doesn't even care about that bucket anymore. And she is running to tell the people that she loves, the people that she knows, that she might have found the Christ, the Savior. And so she runs immediately to tell people. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul said, I have to share the gospel. I have to. I don't have any other choice. It's who I am. It's in my bones. I have to tell others about my Savior. We also see that there's spiritual food. I love Jesus' explanation of the spiritual food. It, of course, in Deuteronomy 8:3, we know the passage. It says, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, or did your fathers know, that he might make you know, that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And Jesus is referencing that passage and saying that my food, my subsistence, my nourishment to my soul is to do the will of God. I don't know about you, but if you've ever had a time in your life where you've been a part of something that you know God was in it, it's exciting. It feels great. And you can go on for a while. It might be going to a service where you felt the Spirit move. And you're like, wow, this is really awesome. Or it might be going to a convention, or it might be going to a camp, or different things like that. And you feel the Spirit of God move. And you say, wow, this is nutrition for my soul. And Jesus said, for him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's what we need to be about. We need to be about nourishment of our soul by doing the work of God. And we need to rejoice in that work. Luke 15:10 says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." One sinner repents and all the angels are with glee. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." We are to be thankful and rejoicing that either whether we sow or whether we reap, that we get to be used by God. Well, next we see what the lady does. She goes into the city, she tells, and the result of this is that many Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. So if the angels are gleeful because of one that came, we see that many, many came to know Christ over these 2 days. And truly, that would be a heavenly fiesta gone viral. Fiesta being Spanish for party. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you have said, but we ourselves have heard him And we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. They believed Christ because of her testimony. And if you are here this morning and you testify that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if that is your testimony, I ask you, how many have believed because of your testimony? How many have you shared Christ with and they say, I believe because of what you told me? If the answer is close to zero, I pray that you would ask God to help you to share the greatest blessing ever with those around you. Don't be ashamed of who God is. He is in control of the universe. He is the creator of all things. And He says if you are ashamed of Him, He will be ashamed of you. Maybe you're here this morning and you have not believed. Many believed because of her testimony. Many more believed because of His testimony. If you have not believed in Jesus and found Him to indeed be the Christ, I ask why. Maybe no one has asked you if you would like living water, and yet that is what is before you today. Would you accept this gift from a Savior who loves you and has given His life to give it to you? He gives it freely. He wants you to have a new life. He wants to cleanse the filth in your life and give you a new heart and a new spirit. Will you accept that gift today? There may not be an elevator that turns back the biological clock. It is appointed for a man once to die. But I can tell you this. There is a fountain of eternal life. And you don't have to travel the world to find it. Jesus Christ has already paid the price, and He gives it freely. And we can live forever. We can live forever in a beautiful garden with Him. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for Your willingness to speak to the woman at the well. Many people in Your day would have said that's a bad idea. Many people of Your day would say You're too good for that. But You're not. You love that woman so much that You were willing to share the living water with her. And she was so excited that she was willing to share it with the whole town. And a true revival broke out. Lord, we see this in a Samaritan town. Rejected by the Jews, but not rejected by You. Lord, Your own people rejected You, but these people gladly accepted You. Lord, I pray that that would be our testimony, that we would accept You and share You, that we would not be like the Jews that refused to even talk about You, that refused to share You, that refused to believe in You. Because we are too worried about status, we're too worried about our jobs, and we're too worried about what other people might think. But Lord, that woman just cared about the truth. And I pray that that would be our heart this morning and this week. I pray that in Jesus' name.